So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, if you're there, say amen. I'm going to use one verse of scripture to jump in here this morning. And it just simply says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through you his poverty might become rich. I want to preach on the subject this morning, how do you spell Christmas? There was a little boy that was in a Christmas, thank you musicians, there was a little boy who was in a Christmas program, and in one sentence he was to say, "Behold, I bring you good tidings." And he went home and he asked his mom, "Mom, what is tidings?" And she said, "It means good news." So in the Christmas program, he translated it, "Hey guys, I've got some good news for you." That's what the angel said. That's what maybe the angel would say in today's society. But I've come by to tell you that I've got some good news for you. That he became poor so that through him, you and I might become rich. See, but what a shame it is to fail to understand the good news of the gospel. What a shame it is to fail to understand what Jesus did for us and what he is doing for us. Life lived, and I want you to catch this, life lived the wrong way is such a tragedy. So many people have lived a life in the wrong direction. And the Bible said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." I could point out people and person after person who have lived their life going in the wrong direction. "Well, but Pastor, I haven't hit trouble." Well, you might not have hit trouble because you're running in the same direction as the devil. But he'll get you on the freeway of life just to have you hit a brick wall and devastate your life to the point where you're unrecoverable. But I've come by to tell you that Jesus, if we live our life in the right way, he said that life can be ours. Now, here's something that I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed, you're probably a lot smarter than I am, but if the word lived, or the word live, spelled backwards is evil. So if you live your life backwards, you might be living an evil life. Now, but now, and here's just another little make you go, The word lived, spelled backwards, is devil. Never noticed that, have you? So maybe if you're living your life backwards, maybe you're living an evil life. If you've lived your life backwards, that's what the devil wants you to do, is live backwards like you ain't got anything to go to, baby. I was born and I will die one day, but I'm headed somewhere. And if I'm going to have to struggle, I would rather struggle on my way to a better place. I would rather have to go through a desert and be dry and thirsty on my way to an oasis than to live in an oasis headed out into the wilderness and the desert. So if it were not for the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, what would all birthdays mean? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ that died, our whole lives would be lived without his presence. What would it be? The cakes, the candles, the gifts would mean that we were another year nearer to death, nearer to the grave, nearer to the judgment that is sure to follow. Yet, because of his birth, every birthday that we have means that we're one year closer to him. Ah, See, it changes this perspective when you know Jesus and you know what it lies ahead. You don't have to be afraid of death. Now, don't get me wrong. If Jesus is taking up a group this morning, I don't want to be one of them. But I'm not afraid of death because I know in whom I have believed. I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm going. Well, what is heaven like, Pastor? I don't know, but I know that it's much better than this place. I know that it's better here, or better there than it is here. But again, I'm not looking for the escape. I want to live my life to its fullest. I don't want to live it backwards in the evil sense. I want to live it forward. See, we have fellowship with Him now. And there are three great truths that's just right out of this text. There's three things I want to share with you. Point number one is this. His glorious possessions. He was rich. He was rich. The Bible declares, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, that's what the Bible says. He was rich. The glorious possessions of Christ. Now the Savior could never have become poor unless he was rich, first of all. Come on, somebody. I was poorer and then became poor. You understand? Let me move on. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for a child will be born unto us, a son who will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end of the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. He was rich, but how was he rich? There's some people that you say they were rich, but how are they rich? Because so many people can be rich in one area and poor in the next. But Jesus was rich in every area. Let me hit a few of them. He was rich in his person. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that the everlasting Father, this is who he is. He was rich in his person. He is the eternal God. The babe of Bethlehem was not a new person who came to this world. Let me talk to you for a moment. There was never a time that he was not. He was rich in person. At his birth, he was as old as his father and older than his mother. The Bible said it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw the glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. If Jesus is not God, he is not even good. Well, some people say he's a good teacher. Well, why would a good teacher teach you something that's false? Why would a good teacher tell you something that's wrong? If he is not God, then he's not even good. He is the only begotten of the Father. He was rich in his person. Let me give you another one. He was rich in his position. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. This is what he is. See, the exalted King of Kings, the exalted Lord of Lords, he can go no higher. There is not a name that is above. His name is above every name. He is rich in his position. It's one thing to be rich in your person and know who you are, but it's another thing to be rich in your position. It's another thing to understand that his name is above every name. But it doesn't stop there. He was rich in power. What is there? What is there that Christ can't do? Well, but Pastor, you don't understand where I've been. You don't know what Jesus did then. Jesus knows how to take a drunk, an addict, or whatever you want to put it. Let me go one step further. Jesus knows how to take somebody who hasn't believed in him for 50 years of their life and knows how to turn them around. And one touch from him, one drop of his blood is able to heal you, cleanse you, and make you whole. He is or was rich in power, and he is. But he was also rich in possessions. This is what he was, or what he has. He owned nothing, or while he was on this earth, he owned nothing. But in heaven, he owned everything. And when you and I realize that you and I own nothing, that we are only his stewards. Here's what Revelation 4:11 says. For you created all things, and they exist because you created. You created what you pleased. Basically, he created whatever he wanted. Huh. I know that you're probably better parents than I am. But have you ever told your kids, because I said so? You ever told your parent? You ever told your kids, because I'm the parent? Why do I got to go to bed and you don't? Because I'm the parent. I make, and the golden rules is that those the people who have the gold makes the rules. That's really not it. Don't quote me there. That's not the golden rule. Come on, somebody. He was rich in possessions. But point two is, let's talk about his great poverty. He became poor. He became poor. Now, he became poor in person. Now, I can understand dust wanting to be deity. Have you ever met somebody who had money and thought, and they said, I would like to know what it is to be poor? Never met anybody like that. I've never met anybody who wanted to be poor in statue, who wanted to be poor in anything. They didn't want to be poor in person. I'm tired of knowing who I am. I'd like to not know who I am. I'm tired of having a sense of self-confidence. I wonder what it's like not to have. No, because all of us have not had and had to work and struggle and fight to become who we are today. Some of us, help me Jesus, have to continually fight to remember who we were because of who we used to be is not who we are today. The label that some people put on you last year is not the label that fits you this year. Prayerfully, you grew out of it. If you didn't grow up out of it, you might have grew out of it. Like me in that shirt. Yet it was absolutely necessary that Jesus became man in order to redeem us. Again, I understand wanting to be a deity. But who in deity wants to become dust? Who in deity wants to do what you and I have done? He became poor in position. Wait a minute. What do you mean, Pastor? He became poor in person, but then he became poor in position, which means no reputation. He didn't have a reputation. He was a monarch. But he was born in a manger. He was sovereign, but he becomes servant. My God, somebody hear me. The deliverer was born in a place where sacrifices were born. He was the deliverer. You would think he would come on the wings of glory with a sword in hand on a unicorn horse type situation flying in. But no, he came in a manger. He was born in a barn where all sacrifices are born. But yet he was the deliverer. See, if we don't understand this, if we don't understand what Jesus did, then you and I can never be what Jesus called us to be. It's called servant leadership. You know, if you want to be the greatest, you need to become the server. Help me, somebody. John 5:19, the Bible says the Son can do nothing of himself, which means that, number three, he became poor in power. In other words, he became obedient. Listen, it's a little bit more difficult. It's difficult when you've been able to make all the calls, and then all of a sudden somebody else is making the calls. Right? That makes it a little bit different. When you've been the supervisor on the job site, and then your supervisor comes, and all of a sudden you have to answer to somebody, makes it a little bit different. Jesus was rich in power, but became poor in power so that you and I could relate. See, his power as absolute God was laid aside. But wait a minute, Pastor. Look at all the things that Jesus did. But he didn't tap into his deity. He didn't tap into who he was. He tapped into the relationship that he had with God so that you and I could mimic or imitate or emulate what he did. That you and I have the power to have the relationship that Jesus had with God so that you and I can become rich in power. Good preaching, Pastor. He became poor in possessions. He lived without possessions that men desire to have. He became poor in possessions. He was born in a stable. He preached using a borrowed boat as his pulpit. He was a great money manager. How do you know that? Because he borrowed a tomb. He didn't buy one. He knew he wasn't going to need it long. Come on, somebody. He borrowed a tomb. He got taxes out of the fish's mouth. And he said, birds have a nest, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He borrowed a donkey to make his triumphant entry. You ever get tired of having to borrow stuff? Come on, somebody. Sometimes you just want stuff so you don't have to borrow it anymore. Unless it's a boat. Because the only thing better than having a boat is having a good friend with a boat. Come on, somebody. That way you ain't got to do the repairs on the boat, upkeep on the boat, and all the other stuff on the boat. He died in abject poverty. He died a common criminal hung between two thieves. He died. Now I want you to think about this. He died as forsaken by God and forsaken by man. Now don't raise your hand and don't point at anybody. But everybody in this building has been forsaken by somebody at some point in time. When you really needed them, they wasn't there. No, I don't want to drudge up them old feelings you have. I don't want you to start crying on me right now. They wasn't there. Come on, build a bridge. Get over it. That was 27 years ago. But everybody's been let down by somebody who wasn't there. But what about, there's one constant thing in my life that when other people have let me down, God has never forsaken me. How would you like to be him, Christ, who went through all at the breaking point, and then God turned his back to you? Because he could look on your sin. I can't even fathom. Because even when I was been in a bad situation and bad places, I could call on him and he would hear me. I've been in places before where I thought God had forsaken me and everybody else had forsaken me, but I called on the name of the Lord and I felt the presence of God come into my situation. Nothing changed except for me. He's as close as the mention of his name. His name is Jesus. But see, he knows how that feels. He knows. The Bible said he was tempted in every manner, yet knew no sin. He even said to God, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? Let me tell you something. Sin always makes a person poor spiritually. Sin always makes a person poor spiritually. Satan is a thief. He's a robber. And hell is the eternal poorhouse. He wants to put you in the poorhouse spiritually so that you will live there eternally. But you don't have to because of our text. Point number three is this: his gracious provision that through his poverty you might become rich. Now, we established his gracious, we established his possessions. We established his poverty. But now, see, it was all for a reason. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? You know, if you ever, what's the old place, the show called it? So years and years ago, it's a Christmas, quote-unquote Christmas movie, Trading Places, with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, I think it is. And these two filthy rich guys made one of their people rich because, and they did it for a dollar bet. They made one, the rich guy, poor, and then the poor guy rich, just as a joke, as a bet. That if you surround them with the right people, can I tell you, Jesus didn't do it just to see how it felt. He did so that through his poverty, you and I might become rich. He did it so you and I would not have to live a life through someone else. He did it so that you and I would not have to bring goats in here and kill them. That was not sufficient, that we would have to do it day or every week or every month or every year. But he did it so that the price would be paid once and for all. And now today, because of what he did through his poverty, I now have the ability to become rich. Now, when I say rich, I'm not talking about money. Listen to me. He did so. Sinners are poor people, no matter how much money they possess. Did you catch that? You can be filthy rich with possessions, but poor. He did it to make you and I rich, sinners. Revelation 3:17 says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. You think you've hit it because you finally, bless God, you don't have to rub, you got more than two nickels to rub together now, and you think you made it. Baby, you better remember where you came from. You better remember how you got here. Come on, somebody. Everything that I have and everything that I hold, it belongs to God. It is because of him and what he's done in my life. I know the track that I was on. I know the path that I was on. But thank God, 33 years ago, he turned my life around with a relationship with him. Through him, I became rich. How sad is it to be ignorant of your own poverty? Now, I know what I'm talking about because I didn't know I was poor till somebody told me. Growing up as a child, 11 kids. If I had 11 kids, we'd be poor too. But praise God, we got cable. Some of y'all get that about lunchtime. I was poor and I didn't realize that I was poor until somebody told me. I was that way because everybody around me was also poor. I didn't know that I was poor. I thought that's the way that you lived. And my dad, you know, and this is not a political statement, so don't read nothing into it, but my dad was too proud to get on food stamps or and they didn't even have SSI back then, I don't think. I don't know. But he was too proud to get on food stamps. when we lost, a hurricane came through and we lost our freezer and everything. And against my dad's wishes, my mother went to get some food stamps for the food that she lost. And when they got through talking to her, they said, "Lord, have mercy, you need these food stamps every month." And she goes, "No, my husband won't allow that. We won't do that." And so that's one of the reasons why we're poor. Sometimes because of pride. So I was poor, and I came today to tell you that no matter your net worth, whatever it is, without Jesus, you're a poor wretch. Without Jesus, you're just a poor wretch. What do you have to look forward to in this life? If you don't have Jesus, this is your this is your heaven. But if you know Jesus, this is your hell. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. If you want to know if you want to know how rich you are, add up everything that money cannot buy and that death cannot take away. That'll tell you whether you're rich. Last I checked, I have preached hundreds of funerals, never seen any luggage racks on the hearse. I've seen limousines behind it with the family, but I've never seen luggage racks on the hearse. I like what the old redneck said. He said, "Bless God, when I die, I want y'all to bury me in my four-wheel drive pickup truck." Somebody said, "Why?" He said, "I've never been in a hole it couldn't get me out of." But I've come by to tell you that the only thing that can get you out of this is Jesus. He's the only thing. Add up everything that money cannot buy and that death cannot take away. Gold and silver and possessions can be taken away. You can buy those things, your house and your car and all these things. But the relationships that you have and the relationships with Jesus is the only thing that death can't take away. Money cannot buy peace. Money can't buy peace of mind, peace of heart. Money cannot quiet the cries of a guilty conscience or heal the bloody wounds of a wasted life. But Jesus can. Jesus can. You can truly never enjoy the things, oh God, help me. You can never truly enjoy the things that money can buy unless you possess that which money cannot buy. You ever had stuff that you didn't even enjoy? And then you come to know Jesus and you begin to enjoy the things that you had even better. Glory to God. Because when you don't have Jesus, you're always looking for what's next. You're always looking for something to fill that emptiness. And can I tell you that nothing will fill the emptiness inside you except for Jesus, because the hole that is inside us, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. And he's the only one that can fill it. But yet, here's the deal. The Bible said, "Blessed are the spirit, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." God can never make you rich unless you're willing to admit your own poverty. When you trust in Jesus, there are riches that come to you. You share in the riches of his person. You see how we're going back? You share in the riches of his person. You may become a member of his body. And that way I don't ever have to be alone. Even if I'm alone, I'm never alone because I'm with Jesus. You share in the riches of his position. You are seated at the right hand or in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2 says that even when we are dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not heaven someday, but heaven right now. Paul was writing this message from prison. What I'm saying is when you share in the riches of his position, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're still rich in him. If Paul could write this from a Roman prison, you ought to be able to say it right where you are, that I might not have everything that I want, but I have everything that I need. become rich in his person. His body may be in prison, but his spirit was seated with Jesus in the heavenlies. You share in the riches of his person. You share in the riches of his person. And then you share in the riches of his power. What do you mean, Pastor? Oh, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I don't know if I can make it through this. Yes, you can. Why? You're not alone. Yes, you can. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can make it. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. Listen, Ephesians 3:16 says, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. You got to decide. Are you going to share with Christ or not? You share the riches of his possessions. Paul calls them unsearchable riches. Romans 8:17, and if children, heirs also. Woo! Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. All things are yours. The meek shall inherit the earth. Man, I'm an heir. Come on. See, listen. Matter of fact, my dad passed away this coming January two years ago. And I've got some things that are coming to me from my dad. I don't really know what all they are. But they're being contested in court by some other folk. But can I tell you that with Jesus, you just step up and the DNA of Jesus is on you. There's no contest. There's no contestedness. Matter of fact, the devil says, no, I know this person. And he looks at Jesus and Jesus says, I died for that person. My blood is over his life. My blood is on his life. And the devil has to shut up and be seated. You ought to. Well, you don't look very rich, Pastor. Well, you ought to see my brother's place. My brother Jesus, who I'm a joint heir, who said he's got me a room, that in my house are many mansions. Woo! Glory to God. You ought to see my brother's place. My Lord. Hey, how many of you don't raise your hand because it might be on video. How many of you got a brother that's rich and got a big old house but won't give you nothing? Well, first of all, he might not need to give you nothing. You might be sorry. I said that out loud. I thought it, but I wasn't going to say it. But man, you see my brother's house. Listen to me. You see my brother's house. My brother's very generous. However, to inherit what he has, you have to abide by his guidelines. See, listen, I know folks who hit the lottery, and all of a sudden, all their kin people come out of the woodwork. My brothers in Mobile, they owned a car lot that was buy here, pay here. It's legalized stealing is what it is. They ain't saved, but anyway, it's legalized stealing. Like 28% interest. It's crazy. So somebody bought a car from them, and they sent a repo man to repossess the car because the guy wouldn't pay the bill. So, they don't get mad. So the guy come up there to repossess this car. And the guy come around and the guy was hooking up to the car. He says, what are you doing? He said, I'm repossessing your car. He said, I know them Reed boys didn't send you up here to repossess my car. He goes, well, exactly they did. He said, them Reed boys are my cousins. Now, here we go. Here's the punchline. And it's a true story. Them Reed boys are my cousins. I bought this car from my cousin so I could be late. Come on, somebody. Yeah, baby. Everybody wants a piece. But can I tell you, you can't circumvent Jesus. Because when you step and go, I'm here to claim what is mine. And Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Wait a minute, I went to church. Depart from me, I never knew you. Pastor, I sung on the choir. Depart from me. I volunteered. Depart from me. Have you asked him into your heart? And not just a one time. Oh, yeah, I went there. Not just one time when you was four. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about yesterday. I'm talking about last week. I'm talking about tomorrow. Lord, have your way in my life. Because if you are Lord, you're not just Lord on Sunday, and you're not just Lord at Christmas, or you're not just Lord when you're giving out candy, but you're Lord every day of my life, and you are my Lord. So therefore, Christmas is spelled grace. That's how you spell Christmas. Grace. For it was by his grace and through his grace that we have become rich. Grace is the real meaning of Christmas. Now listen to me closely and I'm done. Grace cost the sinner nothing. But it cost the Savior everything. However, to refuse such grace will cost you everything. I spell Christmas grace. For it was by grace that you sinned. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, but you want to ask him into your heart, I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. If that's you, slip up your hand right now. Anybody in this room? I see that hand. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. I see that hands. Thank you. Hallelujah. Would you pray this prayer with me? Everybody just stand to your feet. Come on. Just stand to your feet with me. And would everybody pray this? Because for those three that raised your hand, we are so excited for you that you're making Jesus your Savior. Come on. We're excited for you. We're thankful for you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.